Daniel is invented. What Daniel describes is not. It is happening across Yorkshire and the Humber right now. This is their story. In Leeds Central and Headingley, physics graduates who want to teach cannot access the training programmes that would put them in front of students who need them. The classrooms exist, the candidates exist, but the connection between them has been severed by decisions made in Whitehall about what the government can and cannot afford.
I grew up in Armley, watching my mum help kids with their maths homework. She was a teaching assistant at the local primary, and I'd sit in the corner after school, doing my own work, while she patiently explained fractions to year fives who were struggling. By the time I was doing A-levels, I knew I wanted to teach physics, not because I was some kind of saint, but because I could see how much difference one person could make when they actually cared about whether a kid understood something or just moved on to the next topic. I studied physics at Leeds Beckett and graduated with a 201 in 2022. During my final year, I volunteered at my old secondary school in Pudsey, helping with after-school revision sessions. The head of science there was brilliant but clearly exhausted, trying to cover classes that should have been taught by three different teachers. She told me they'd been advertising for physics teachers for over a year. The government was offering a £28,000 bursary for physics teacher training, which made sense. You need incentives to get physics graduates into classrooms instead of engineering firms or tech companies. In January 2023, I applied for teacher training at Leeds Trinity University. I'd done my research, knew exactly which programme I wanted, and was confident about the bursary. The admissions tutor was enthusiastic about my application, but had some bad news. "The programme itself is excellent," she said, "but I have to tell you the bursary has been cut to £10,000. Treasury spending limits, I'm afraid. 10,000 instead of 28." I asked if this was temporary, maybe just for that year. She shrugged. "We don't know. We get told the funding levels each spring, and we work with what we're given." I couldn't afford to live on £10,000 while training full-time. My mum was helping where she could, but she was hardly rolling in it on a teaching assistant salary. I took a job stacking shelves at Tesco and decided to save for a year, hoping the bursary would be restored. Every shift, I thought about those empty physics classrooms and the kids sitting through lessons taught by non-specialists because there weren't enough qualified teachers. In January 2024, I applied again, this time to the University of Leeds. The admissions process was smooth until I got to the funding conversation. "I'm very sorry," the programme director told me over the phone, "but bursaries for physics have been suspended entirely. The Department for Education says recruitment targets have been met nationally." I asked what that meant. "Apparently enough physics teachers are being trained across England, so the funding has been redirected to other subjects." This made no sense. I was walking past my old secondary school in Headingley just a few weeks later and saw the same recruitment posters they'd had up for months. 3 physics teacher positions, still unfilled. I went in and asked to speak to the head teacher. She recognised me from my volunteering days and was happy to chat. 18 months we've been trying to fill those posts," she said. "We've had interview-ready candidates, people who want to train, but the training providers keep telling them there's no funding. Meanwhile, I'm asking non-specialists to cover physics lessons, which isn't fair on them or the students." I explained what the University of Leeds had told me about national targets being met. Her face darkened. "National targets? We're in Yorkshire. We have the worst physics teacher shortage in England, and they're talking about national targets." She pulled up some paperwork on her computer. "Look, here's an email from the Regional Schools Commissioner acknowledging our shortages, and here's another one from the Department for Education saying recruitment is complete for the year. They're not talking to each other, or they are, and they just don't care about what's happening outside London." That was when it clicked for me. I'd been thinking about this wrong. I'd accepted the narrative that there wasn't enough money, that hard choices had to be made, that you couldn't fund everything. But the head teacher was right. They weren't talking to each other because the system wasn't designed to connect need with resource. It was designed to hit abstract targets while real classrooms stayed empty. I started noticing contradictions everywhere. The local college had a purpose-built teacher training facility that was barely being used. I met other physics graduates in similar situations, qualified, motivated, blocked by funding rules that seemed to exist in a parallel universe to the actual schools crying out for teachers. There is no funding, we kept being told, while buildings sat empty and students went without specialist teaching. The strangest part was how everyone accepted it. The university admissions staff, the head teachers, even me at first, we all nodded along when someone said the money wasn't there. It sounded reasonable. Budgets are finite. Tough choices must be made. Except the government that was making these choices also happened to be the one that issues British pounds. They print them, they mint them, they type them into existence when banks need rescuing or when there's a war to fund. But somehow, when it came to connecting physics graduates to physics classrooms, the cupboard was suddenly bare. I'm still in Leeds, still working at Tesco, still watching this play out, but I don't accept the excuse anymore. I used to think there's no money was a fact, like gravity or the speed of light. Now I hear it as a choice dressed up as an inevitability. The government that creates pounds told me it couldn't find enough of them to train the teachers who were standing right there, ready to work. The question was never whether the money existed. Money is numbers on a computer when you're the institution that controls the computers. The question was whether the people existed, whether the skills could be taught, whether the schools needed the teachers. They did. All of them. What didn't exist was the political will to connect them. This isn't just my story. It's the story of every place where resources and needs exist side by side, while someone in Westminster explains why they can't be brought together. The physics classrooms are still empty, the graduates are still stacking shelves, and someone, somewhere, is still pretending that's because there isn't enough money, rather than because there isn't enough imagination.
What Daniel experienced has a name: cherry picking. This technique selects the rare examples where government spending failed to justify never spending again, while ignoring overwhelming evidence of success. It's like a tobacco company highlighting the one study that found no cancer link, while burying hundreds that proved the connection. They focus on the exception to deny the pattern. In Daniel's case, Treasury officials cherry-picked examples of teacher training programs that supposedly recruited too many teachers in some subjects, using this to justify cutting bursaries for physics, despite Yorkshire having the worst physics teacher shortage in England. They ignored the schools desperately recruiting, the empty classrooms, the non-specialists covering lessons they weren't trained to teach. One carefully selected data point about national targets overruled the reality on the ground. When challenged about teacher shortages, they point to isolated examples of oversupply while ignoring the systematic undersupply everywhere else. This is the household budget myth in action, treating government spending like a finite resource that must be rationed, rather than recognising that the UK government issues its own currency and can train teachers wherever schools need them. The austerity objection here is predictable. Look what happened to countries that overspent on public services. But countries that issue their own currency have never defaulted due to domestic spending. Greece used the euro and couldn't issue its own money. The resources existed. The people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Leeds Central and Headingley ranks 200 out of 543 English constituencies in the English Indices of Deprivation 2025 from MHCLG. The constituency has 1,631 registered charities according to the Charity Commission Register for England and Wales. Total grants received amount to £35.5 million, according to 360 Giving Grant Nav. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics, produced by Blocked Britain.